Greetings, Christian friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze coming to you with an update. We have been looking for 100 people to commit $25 a month for 1 year to support this program. We have had many people make that commitment, but we are still looking for others who want to partner with this ministry. If this program has been a blessing to you, would you prayerfully consider how you can help us? Remember, even if you cannot participate financially, prayer is always in order. Stay tuned, and our announcer will let you know how to contact us. God richly bless you.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will challenge us with, does your dead spiritual life say RMA or DNR? So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of, does your dead spiritual life say RMA or DNR?
I was going to start a new series today. And the series was going to be entitled The Weapons of Our Warfare. Actually, it comes out of a series that I was doing in Wednesday Bible study in the spring. But for some reason, it just didn't come together. And yesterday was, I was struggling yesterday. And so I was praying and trying to reflect on this message on spiritual, the weapons of our warfare, and nothing was coming. And so I just kind of wrestled. And about 2 o'clock this morning, God, I feel, gave me something to share with the congregation. And so the message that I want to share that was laid on my heart is, if you'll put that title up there, does your dead spiritual life say RMA or DNR? RMA, revive me again. DNR, y'all know what that means, right? Do not resuscitate. And it's sad to think that, you know, some Christians have been dead for so long that there's no desire in their heart to be revived. In Psalm 85, if you'll turn there with me this morning, Psalm 85, RMA or DNR? Psalm 85, and in verse 6, the psalmist says, "Will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" That when our hearts are revived, our souls rejoice in the Lord. In her book, It Only Hurts When I Laugh, Ethel Barrett talked about D.L. Moody and says that when he became a Christian, he developed such a hunger for God's word and he spent so much time reading it, and that he was so quick to obey it, that he became a menace to some of the believers around him. His rapid spiritual growth actually was an embarrassment to people who had been saved for many years. Week after week, Moody would attend church and talk about what the Lord had done in his life and how the Lord had used him in a special way and what God spoke to him about and how that God was moving in his life and working in the lives of others. Finally, some of the older saints got fed up with Moody and his testifying and his sharing what God was doing in his life, and they felt a little bit humiliated by their mediocre life, that they went to Moody's uncle and they asked his uncle if he would talk to him and tell him to cool it down a little bit. And Ethel Barrett, in her book, draws this conclusion. His robust spiritual health and bounding energy disturbed their napping. He was just too much. So while they were sucking their thumbs, He was growing until he left them far behind. He grew more in a few years than they did in 30. And that seems to be the plight of many of God's people today. Today, the norm is that we are satisfied with a mediocre Christian life. We are satisfied with very little power. We are satisfied with seeing God move in the lives of others. As a matter of fact, we have accepted that which is mediocre for that which is normal. If you would take some time and do a serious study of the New Testament, you would see that the Spirit-filled life is one, as the choir sang this morning, in the midst of persecution, is joy. You would see that it's a continual filling of the Holy Spirit and a witnessing and a reading of God's word and prayer and fellowship and worship. If you read the New Testament, you see that that is the normal Christian life. But what has happened to the experience of the average Christian? We have substituted mediocrity and the lesser of what God has for us for this powerful, Spirit-filled life. And I began to think, as I was on the side of my bed about 2 o'clock in the morning, we need a personal revival. And I was looking at myself and thinking about some things in my life and realizing that if I find myself in certain situations, then maybe there's others that might be struggling too at this time. And so we need a personal revival. Now, I want to say that we need a revival on three levels. We need a personal revival, we need a church revival, and we need a revival in our country. First of all, you know you need a revival when your heart has grown cold toward the things of God. The things that used to excite you, the things that used to encourage you, the things that used to fire you up, you're no longer excited about those things. You need a revival when you have lost your passion for souls. Do you weep over the loss anymore? Two men came to the founder of the Salvation Army and said, "We've tried everything to win souls, that we've, you know, taken evangelism classes, we've memorized scripture, we've done all these things, and we haven't seen souls come to Christ." And Charles Booth said to them, or William Booth, "Have you tried tears? Have you tried tears?" And the story goes on to say, as they began to weep for souls, that God just poured his Spirit out and sent an influx of the lost into the congregation. When was the last time that you stayed up and cried over a soul, that you wept over a soul, that you saw a loved one that was on the verge of slipping off into eternity, going into the pits of hell? Jude said, snatching them from the fire, pulling them out of the fire. Why? Because there's a passion in our hearts. There is a sin that has gripped your life and robbed you of your spiritual energy, that this sin has consumed you so much that it takes away your desire to read God's word. It takes your desire to come to God in fellowship. And what sin is there in your life that has overwhelmed you and that has robbed you and zapped you of your spiritual energy? We need a personal revival. You no longer feel the convicting presence of the Holy Spirit, that you can expose yourself to things and not blush. You can get involved in things that are not godly and not feel the Holy Spirit tugging at your heart. You need a revival. My wife and I had gone to one of my favorite movies over the period of time that I've watched movies, way back in the 70s. Was a Vacation with Chevy Chase. And funny movie, man. And so we saw the advertisement for the new vacation. And so my wife and I, you know, we decided that we're going to go see vacation. And we sat there about 3 minutes and had to leave. Holy Spirit just wouldn't let me stay there. A little boy, about 8 years old, dropping F-bombs to his mother and father, taking the Lord's name in vain. Oh, getting quiet now. I know. And I just couldn't stay there. And listen, to them take the name of my Lord God and douse it in filth and profanity. So we got up and walked out. I didn't know if we was going to get our money back or not. Praise God. We went to the place where they sold the tickets, and we told them what our issue was, and they gave us a refund. Amen.
We would like to take a short break for a brief word from Dr. Glaze.
Greetings, Anchored in Jesus radio family. I'm coming to you with a special announcement. I would like to invite you to join me on a trip of a lifetime. Anchored in Jesus Ministries is partnering with Dr. John Stanko of Purpose Quest to go to Israel in 2018. The dates are April 24th through May 4th. Your trip to Israel will make the Bible come alive in new and exciting ways as we visit many sites where the biblical events took place. For more information, visit the Anchored in Jesus website at www.anchoredinjesus.org. That's www.anchoredinjesus.org.
We will return now to the message already in progress.
You no longer feel the convicting presence of the Holy Ghost in your life. You have an insignificant or non-existent prayer life. What is your prayer life like? Do you spend time with God on a regular basis? If not, you need a revival. You are more occupied with worldly endeavors than reading the Word of God. That what's happening on the news, what's happening in the newspaper, what's happening around the world captures your attention more than God's Word. You need a revival. We need a personal revival. We need a revival in the church. There needs to be a revival in the church. When we look at the church, what do we see? We have more organizers than we have agonizers. We got people that's good at organizing stuff, but where are the agonizers for the prayer services that we have? We pray every Tuesday at 12 o'clock, 15 minutes. Russell's pretty good about getting us off in 15 minutes. Sad to say, we only got about 6 or 7 people that call in. I know everybody's not busy on Tuesday afternoon at 12, but we can organize the mess out of stuff, right? But we don't have any agonizers. Where are the people that are crying out in the church for lost souls that will cry out and say, God, give me souls or I die? We have more players than we do prayers. It was easy. You organize an activity, an event, you fill the church. But when you talk about praying, the numbers are few. When you think about it was Leonard Ravenhill, he said that prayer is the Cinderella of the church. The Cinderella. Think about that. Prayer is the Cinderella of the church. We go after the wicked stepsisters. We put them up. We exalt them. But prayer is humbling. Gets down on his knees and washes floors and seeks to do that which is lowly. We got more players than we do prayers. We got more singers than we do clingers. People that will hold on to God and say, God, I'm going to pray until I can't pray anymore. God, I'm going to see that as we lift up the needs of our church, that we watch you break through in miraculous ways. Lord, we're trying to build a new sanctuary. We need some clingers. We need some prayer warriors. God is able. We sang this morning that he's able, but we don't pray like he's able. We need a revival in the church. We have more fears than we do tears. You ask the average person, what are they consumed with? I'm worried about my health. I'm worried about my finances. I'm worried about dealing with folks on my job. I'm worried about something that's going on in my neighborhood. We got more fears than we do tears. Oh, it's getting quiet in here. Amen. We got more fashion than we do passion. Amen. We can look good, and there's nothing wrong with looking good. Nothing at all. But where's the passion at? We have more inner fearers than we do intercessors. People who want to block and stop and hold things up. We have more leaders than we do feeders. Everybody wants to be a leader. Everybody wants to be a leader. I told y'all about the time one lady came up to me and asked me how she could be a deaconess. So I started talking to her about the call and everything else, and I asked her, well, why do you want to be a deaconess? She said, because I want to wear white and sit up front on the first Sunday. We got more leaders than we do feeders. We need a revival in our country. When we look at what's happening on a national level in this country, we need a revival. While I was off, I was amazed of the things that happened. When you think about what the Supreme Court did and took the definition that we have in the Bible of marriage and redefined it, we need a revival in our country. We need a revival, and we need for Christians to wake up. I've been studying this thing, and I'm not going to get on a hobby horse here, but you know, if you really think about this, and I keep telling people, in 15 to 20 years, this country is going to be run by Muslims. It's going to be run by Muslims. I showed my wife a video clip yesterday of a town hall meeting where Muslims in one community were trying to get a day to recognize one of their holy days. And there was the whole city was in an uproar because they were pushing that they get this holy day and that the kids didn't have to go to school. The town was shut down. And one lady stood up at the podium. And she said, we are the largest, Muslim lady, we are the largest minority in this community. And then she said this, and pretty soon, we're going to be the majority. Now, that might not sound so bad, but now when you start to think about, and the leader said, well, we just can't give you the day this year. It wasn't that they weren't going to give it to you, we just can't do it this year. Now, think about this. This country was built on Christian principles. I don't care what you say. You can tell me about politically correct and equal. This country was built on Christian principles. But do you know today, there's not one Christian holiday anymore? Not one. Oh, we got Christmas. No, it's not Christmas anymore. Our government, it's not Christmas anymore. It's what? The holiday season. Easter. It's not Easter anymore. It's spring break or, you know, something, whatever they change the name. There's not one Christian holiday in this country anymore. But pretty soon we're going to see other groups having days. We need to wake up and we need to begin to pray. Brother Scott Taylor preached a message while I was gone. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. We need a revival. We need a revival in our country. They asked one pastor to address the state senate in Kansas, and after he addressed them, they asked him, would he offer a prayer? And he offered this prayer. And this was over 10 years ago. And this prayer is still applicable today. Heavenly Father, we come before you today and ask for your forgiveness and seek your direction and guidance. We know your word says, woe to those who call evil good, but that's exactly what we have done. We have lost our spiritual equilibrium and inverted our values. We confess that we have ridiculed the absolute truth of your word and called it pluralism. We have worshiped other gods and called it multiculturalism. We have endorsed perversion and called it an alternative lifestyle. We have exploited the poor and called it the lottery. We have neglected the needy and called it self-preservation. We have rewarded laziness and called it welfare. We have killed our unborn and called it choice. We have shot abortionists and called it justifiable. We have neglected to discipline our children and call it building self-esteem. We have abused power and called it political savvy. We have coveted our neighbor's possession and called it ambition. We have polluted our air with profanity and pornography and called it freedom of expression. We have ridiculed the time-honored values of our forefathers and called it enlightenment. Search us, O God, and know our hearts. Try us and see if there be some wicked way in us. Cleanse us from every sin and set us free. Guide and bless these men and women who have been sent here by the people of Kansas, who have been ordained by you to govern this state. Grant them your wisdom to rule, and may their decisions direct us to the center of your will. I ask it in your Son's name, the living Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What a powerful prayer. What a powerful prayer. We need revival. And as we look at revival, oftentimes people will ask me to come speak at a revival. And then I get there and find out, well, you know, we want to see the lost come to Christ. We want to see lost folks saved. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. And I agree with that. But that's not what revival is. You know, you need to, if you want to see lost souls saved, you need to have an evangelistic outreach. If you want to have a revival, you know, you want to see people of God get right. Charles Spurgeon, if you put that quote up there, Charles Spurgeon says the meaning, the word revive wears its meaning upon his forehead. It's from the Latin and may be interpreted thus, to live again. To receive again a life which has almost expired, to rekindle into a flame the vital spark which was nearly extinguished. That's revival. Revival is not getting raising the dead, but revival is giving life to the weary. Revival is lifting up the saints that are feeble. Revival is firing up the hearts of those who say they know the Lord and who say they love God. If you'll turn to Psalm 85, that was an introduction to my message. If you turn to Psalm 85, we see the background to this psalm. Many scholars believe it was written when the Jewish people returned from Babylonian captivity. And in this psalm, we see a threefold outline.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Does Your Dead Spiritual Life Say RMA or DNR? If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, Does Your Dead Spiritual Life Say RMA or DNR? You can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Does Your Dead Spiritual Life Say RMA or DNR? That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Does Your Dead Spiritual Life Say RMA or DNR? Or you can call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.